Good afternoon.
Good.
If you'd like to open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, that is where we will be starting this afternoon. Philippians chapter 3, and I'd like to read verses 8 through 14. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ, and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We've all assembled here today to praise God, to learn from His Word. And our goal is common. Our goal is heaven. That is why we live as Christians. That's why we come here and we worship God. It is that one day, just like Paul, we can attain this goal. It's why we choose to commit our lives to Christ, why we choose to live differently. And I want to pay special attention to how Paul so aptly puts it in verse 11. That by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. This should be our greatest desire. Not only for just ourselves, but for those around us as well. We should be united in our desire to attain this resurrection from the dead. And the reason I want us to study Philippians chapter 3 in this section of verses this afternoon is really just to discuss how we're daily living with this goal in mind. Whether you haven't yet become a Christian, whether you've just become a Christian, or whether you've been a Christian for most of your life, in Philippians 3, and specifically in this section, Paul lays out very simply the plan to attain this goal. He lays out in very simple, straightforward terms that no matter what your position in life may be, no matter how long you've been walking with Christ, what needs to be done to press forward to that goal. And I think whether this is new information or a good reminder, it's something we can all benefit from. Reorienting our goal. Reorienting ourselves on the path and making sure we stay focused on pressing ahead. In verse 12 and the beginning of verse 13, I think we see the first thing that Paul puts forward to those he's writing to. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. The first step in pressing on towards the goal is to understand that you can't reach the goal by yourself. This is going to retread very familiar ground as our adult class, this first point. But I'd like to read Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 10, which, again, I know we've brought up many times in the adult class. But Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 10, but God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness towards us through Christ in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. We make this spiritual journey. We embark upon this spiritual journey by understanding that it's not something we can do on our own. By grace, you have been saved. What we have to constantly keep in mind throughout our walk as we press on towards the goal, as we seek to obtain salvation, is that it's only going to be possible if we realize that we can't work for it. We have to allow God's grace to work within us. We have to keep His grace in mind. And this is a great thing. It's an amazing gift. Back in Philippians, Paul says, by any means possible. And the great news is that it's a freely given gift. That the any means possible is that God is wanting us to attain that salvation with Him. He will give us that salvation. So we start by reaching for heaven, by pressing on towards this goal, by understanding the need for grace and understanding the need to rely on God. Back in verse 13 of Philippians 3, I want to pay attention to the next statement that Paul makes there in verse 13. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. This is, I think, the second thing that we have to implement in this walk, in this race towards the goal. Paul says that firstly, you understand that you aren't going to do it by yourself. You're not going to accomplish it because of just how hard you try. But there are still other things that you must do. In Philippians 3, verse 8, we read that right at the beginning. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. When we understand the need for Christ's grace, we understand the goal we want to attain, and we realize I can't do this on my own. The next step there, the next thing that Paul says, this is what we have to do to press on towards the goal, is count everything else as rubbish. What you were before Christ, your status, your job, your worldly knowledge, sometimes family members, and your sins are counted as loss. It is all left behind you. In Galatians chapter 3, if you'll turn with me there. Galatians chapter 3, verses 27 through 29. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Jesus Christ. If you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring. Heirs according to promise. If we want salvation, if we want to attain this goal, we have to be willing to leave everything else behind. And that's why baptism is so necessary. And it's so important in our walk as Christians. Because we have to bury that old self. We bury who we once were and become something new entirely in Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 19. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Whether baptism is something that has recently happened in your life, or something that's happened so far back you have trouble remembering when it was you were baptized, What we need to constantly keep in mind is that old life, those desires of the world, we have to leave them behind if we want to press on towards the goal. We can't sit and think to ourselves as Christians, man, wasn't it nice when I could do whatever I wanted? Man, remember when I wasn't a Christian and I got to go partying Friday night? That was great. That's not the attitude we can have if we want to attain the goal. We were in sin. We are no longer considered in the flesh. Christ Jesus has made us His own. And we recognize we cannot achieve the salvation for ourselves, so we sacrifice ourselves. We give our lives wholly to God. And it's such a beautiful message. We were dead in sin, hopeless, and separated from God. And the absolute worst part is that nothing we could accomplish could change that. Try as we might, our sin continually separated us from God. So it's so amazing that God gives us a way to leave it all behind. The hopelessness, the loneliness, the sin in our lives, He gives us a way to bury it, to be baptized and be a new creation. And for those of us who have been baptized, I don't want us to sit there and think, well, I've been baptized, I've got this part down. That doesn't mean that just because we've been baptized a while ago, we can just, I'm ready to move on to more stuff. We have to keep in mind what a blessing it is. And we have to keep in mind that we've killed that old man. We've buried it, so leave it behind. Don't look towards your past life with longing after the sin and the hopelessness of the world. And finally, in Philippians 3, 13 and 14, the third thing I want us to pay attention to in what Paul says, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ Jesus. We've recognized we can't do it alone. We've said, all right, I sacrifice myself to You, God. I leave that old man behind. Make me something new. And we move forward. Part of what, I guess, inspired me to write this lesson was this, not story, but kind of this adage that my dad used to talk about a lot, which I'm sure most of us have heard. It's not like my dad came up with it. But in life, and being a Christian, it's kind of like being on the beach. And we see something far off. We see that horizon, right? And it seems so far away when we're standing on that shore. And we get in the water, and we wade out till we can't stand. And then you stop. And you think, well, I've made it part of the way. I'm going to rest here for a second, and then I'll keep swimming towards that horizon. But if you've ever been to the beach and you've stood in the middle of the ocean, what happens? You sit there for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and all of a sudden those waves slowly push you back towards the shore. You think, I've made all this progress, I'm going to stop here for now. I'll keep swimming towards the horizon later. But when you stop, every minute you've stopped, you regress more and more back to that shore. The only way to keep progressing towards the goal, to keep working to attain that salvation, is to keep swimming towards it. To keep progressing towards it. And that's why Paul says to strain forward, to keep going. You've left that shore behind. You've made the decision to get in the water. So don't stop still after that. If we go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. We have been baptized. Right? We have put on that new man in Christ. And I think sometimes, I know I'm guilty of is we are in our walk as Christians and we think, man, there's been a lot going on, been pretty busy, but I've been doing pretty good. So I think right now I'm not going to press myself too hard. I'm just going to kind of coast for a little while. I'm tired. I got a lot going on. If we were remade in Christ through grace, what were we remade for? In verse 10, to do good works, that we should walk in them. And just like Paul says, we can't count this salvation as something already achieved. Just because you've gotten to this point, it doesn't mean you can stop. And if you aren't working, if you aren't improving yourself, then you're regressing. Don't labor in vain. If we turn to Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 18 of Philippians 2. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Do all without grumbling or disputing, so that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. We have been saved. And now we need to do Christ's work to shine as lights in the world. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. It's a short reading. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Work now to bring more souls to Christ. Work to save others. And hold fast to the words of life you've been given. Learn, grow, and teach God's Word. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14 through 16, remind them of these things. Charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. We've been given the words of life. The plan of salvation is right here, in our hands, in front of us. So why then would we not study? What reason is there to not immerse ourselves in the knowledge of God? To not spread that knowledge to everyone we meet? How sad it would be to get to the end of time and hear that we have labored in vain because we decided to stop. Decided we didn't need to keep improving ourselves on the walk with Christ. And I don't want to just say that as a generic blanket statement of just keep improving yourself. Think of ways in your life that you can improve. Because I guarantee there's also some area that we can improve in. Whether it's praying more, devoting time every single day, say I want to take 30 minutes out of my morning to pray, because the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, James 5:16. Whether it's devoting yourself to building up your knowledge of God's grace and His will through His Scriptures. Because there is no such thing as reading too much of your Bible. If that's something you don't do every day, set a goal to do that in your life. Set yourself a number of business cards from that we printed out in the back to give out every week. Say, I'm going to start 3 conversations with these business cards this week. I'm going to go out and talk to 3 people about Jesus. Find someone in the congregation or a close friend of yours and just say, let's have a Bible study. Let's study the Scriptures together to improve our understanding and our faith. And in our area, find a way to volunteer, to be active in our community so that you can meet more people to spread the word of Christ, to create more opportunities to say, you know, we're doing something good here, physically. What have you been doing good spiritually in your life? We have all embarked on a journey as Christians, a spiritual journey with the goal of heaven. We have understood the need for God's grace. We have left the world behind. We've chosen to leave our worldly selves behind. And we're going to press on towards that goal. Leave that worldly self behind. Trust in God's grace and keep improving yourself in Christ. Always be looking for opportunities to improve yourself and share the knowledge of God's grace. The final verse I want to read is Galatians chapter 6, verses 2 through 10. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself and not in his neighbor, for each one will have to bear his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let's work towards the goal of improving ourselves together. Let's work to attain salvation together. Tonight, whether you have yet to become a Christian, or whether you have just recently become a Christian, or you've been a Christian for a while, reconsider your walk with Christ. Are you trusting in His grace? Have you truly left your worldly self behind? And are you daily working to improve, to progress towards the goal? To show God's good works? Or have you stopped? Are you drifting back towards the shore? If we can help you in any way, by either baptizing you and allowing you to begin this journey, or by praying for you, please come forward while we stand and while we sing.
Oh, Jesus.